Matthew chapter 14, and we'll also look at Mark chapter 6, which is like another passage on the same subject here. This is not probably going to be too long. It wasn't meant to be, but it was just some thoughts that I had seen in my devotions and some things that from the scriptures here that are very important. Just a simple concept here that will help. And I realize there's a lot of mothers that are out right now and ladies that are out right now that aren't here, but they're listening online and they'll listen to it later, and other folks will. And there's some principles for us as men too as well in here, obviously. But I called it an evil mother, a bad teacher. And if you look at this, there's in Matthew chapter 14, verse number 8, and she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger." And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, there's that again, right? That oath, right? Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. Then in Mark chapter 6, verse 17 through 21. Actually, 28. I read the whole thing. That's good. I posted the whole thing on here. That's good. We need it here. So we'll just tell the context of the entire story here. For Herod himself, verse 17, Mark 6, 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod. Now, let me remind you of something. Politicians, kings, and rulers do not like being told they can't do something, because in their minds, they're God. And they do what they want. And you're a little peasant that should shut your mouth and do what you're told. Well, God sent John the Baptist to tell him something, didn't he? Well, here's what John said. For John had said unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him. She was mad. She was one mad Jezzy. What happened, right? Why was she so mad? Because he told her, "You can't do that." Why? Well, in essence, he's telling her, you know, you're being a whore. Because your husband's, you can't do that. You can't pass around your wife like that. What are you doing? He told Herod that, his brother's wife. Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him. But she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. There's a lot of people that will do many things and hear biblical preaching gladly, but they won't do what they're supposed to do. Right? This man wasn't even converted, obviously. He didn't even listen to John's message. He liked some of the things that John said, but he wasn't willing to obey them, was he? He never got rid of her, did he? He never sent her back to her husband, did he? Right? And when a convenient day was come that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. So all the dignitaries are there, right? And when the daughter of said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." And he sware unto her, "Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom." Shouldn't have promised something, right? That he didn't know what was going to be asked? Fool. He's a fool, right? And she went forth and said unto her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in straight. Well, remember, she's holding this revenge in her heart against John for what John said. And she wants to kill John herself. But since she can't kill him herself, she'll have her daughter go dance provocatively in front of the king, right? Because that's what that dance, that's what it means to dance in front of them. It's not like David's dance before the Lord or something. This is a female that danced in front of him and it pleased him, right? And these kings and these dignitaries are noted for their incestual stuff and everything else. That's just who they were. Now, this wasn't his daughter, but the point is they didn't care about any boundaries. Right? They had none. They were royalty and could do what they want in their mind. So they did. She came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. So he wouldn't do what was right and reject her, because he would have to humble himself and admit that what he had said was wrong. He wasn't willing to do that. Right? He cared about his ego and his pride and the way he looked to others more than he did about what was right. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel. And the damsel gave it to her mother. Whew. Man. I mean, when you think about this, right? When you think about... It's just... Here's this young lady dancing for this king, right? And... She asked her mother what she should do. What she should ask the king for. And it was the head of one of the greatest prophets of Israel. Right? That's a terrible thing, isn't it? So I said that's a terrible mother, right? A bad mother, a terrible teacher, an evil mother, a terrible teacher. Father, Lord, help us now as we look at these scriptures and break them down. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this mother prepares her daughter to do evil. And she's proving that a mother's influence can be good or evil. Mothers have to realize, and ladies have to realize, that your influence is either good or it's bad. It will either be biblical and be right, or it'll be evil. And it'll hurt and destroy lives. Many a mother has destroyed the life of her children, her husband, her family. Many. And made it difficult. We must remember that daughters look for instruction from their mothers. It's natural for them. So they watch what their mothers do and they look for instruction from their mothers to see what they will. That's why it's incumbent upon you to do the right thing always and to teach them the scriptures and teach them what is right and what is wrong. You teach them, ladies, listen to me very closely. You teach them what a proper relationship is with a man. You teach them what that is. In that sense, what do I mean by that? I mean that you teach them to respect men or disrespect men. You teach them to use men or to love them. You teach them the right way. You teach them how they are to view men and what they are to view and how they are to respect them and how they are to conduct themselves. This mother taught her the wrong way. Children always look to be instructed. And remember this, children will always learn from someone. If it's not you, if you're not the primary teacher of the children, someone else will be. But they are always learning something. Don't the LGBTQ people know that? Isn't that what they're doing right now? What do they know? Well, we'll train them in evil. Why? Well, because children are like sponges. They soak up every bit of knowledge that you give them, right? Every bit of things. So they'll teach them perversion. Why do you think all these children are turning out the way they are? They're not turning out that way. They're being conditioned to be that way because they're being taught that way. No boy wakes up one day and says, oh, I think I want to be this. Unless something foreign has taught him that. Unless some indoctrination has taken place to teach him those things. Or her, a girl, those things. Right? It's the atmosphere and they're recruiters. That's what they are. Okay, so number one, this mother is not a teacher of good things, but of wicked things. We'll start with her, the mother. Her reactions her actions are deplorable. She had an agenda. This wicked woman is a teacher of evil things. She is a Jezebel, and she had a quarrel with John. Her quarrel was that he told her that it was not lawful what she was doing, meaning that she was being a whore. She was being a loose woman, a wicked woman. It wasn't biblical what she was doing. She taught her daughter perversion by her own perverted lifestyle. You can't say one thing to children and do the opposite and expect that good is going to come from that. the example has to be right, and your words have to be correct, right? Otherwise, we get something different. This woman, this mother, was a strange woman. How the Bible calls them a strange woman that we find that we've been going through in Proverbs chapter 7 with the children, right? We're teaching them about what a strange woman is. And that's what this woman was. She was a strange woman. But how you train a child will affect them and others around them. She received this instruction from her mother, clearly. And girls follow that. They're examples. In what? In dress? In conduct? In modesty? In your speech? In the way that you act? The way that you handle disagreements in the home? The way women handle disagreements with men? The way they deal with things? It will affect them. How you teach them, by example and by your words, it greatly affects them. She trained her daughter to manipulate men. That's what she trained her to do. Go in, dance for him, and when you dance for him, you'll plead, and he'll give you whatever you want. He taught her that. She taught her that. It's a horrible trait for a lady to have, by the way. Manipulation as a practice is a horrible thing. Now, many women will resort to manipulation, in times of like fear or in times of like, fall back into the old nature. That's not the same. That's still wrong and it's still sinful and God still hates it. But it's not the same as women that practice and plot the manipulation and plan it out and do it, okay? And they execute those plans to manipulate people. That is sinful and wrong, okay? That is sinful and wrong. And she trained her daughter to do that. It's a horrible trait, right? It's a very sinful one to have. She taught her daughter to use her body as a sexual tool to get what she wants. You understand that? That's very that's very pointed, but it needs to be, right? Because it's a sin to teach a girl or a lady or a woman to use her body to get what she wants. It destroys the beauty of purity and holiness, and it also teaches them it cheapens them. It cheapens their value. Right? It cheapens that. That's what she did. She taught her to be loud and stubborn and to be noticed. Go in there. And, she went in there and danced like that, and her mother encouraged that behavior. Why? By the same behavior she had, leaving her father, right, and going with this other man. So she taught her that. She taught her to be loud and stubborn. The Bible talks about that woman is loud and stubborn. The strange woman, her feet abide not in her house, right? She's loud and stubborn, have to be seen by everybody. That woman, she taught her that your daughter, she taught her daughter to go out there and use your beauty, use your body, use what you can to get what you want. That's wicked. It's wicked. She taught her to be sensual and seductive. Sensual and seductive. It's the opposite of a meek and a quiet spirit, right? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 through 5. Summer was waiting to see me wince like that from spraying that. She's like, it's coming. I heard the spray. He's going to make that funny face again. That's correct. 1 Peter 3, 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. See, that meek and quiet spirit. Lady, there's only one man's attention that you need to grab as a married lady, and it's your husband's. You don't need anybody else's. I don't mean we don't talk to each other and fellowship and all that. We do that, of course. We're supposed to. We're supposed to be kind and love one another, right? We don't walk around not talking to each other. That would be rude. It would be unkind and inconsiderate. What I mean is, though, that attention like that, that grabbing attention, is for a husband only. That's all it's for, right? You teach your daughter by that same example the same thing, that that's the attention that she grabs as her future husband, right? That's it. Nothing else. There's no other needed for her. I think some of these other points are very simple, but she taught her to murder, right? She used her body to get that man murdered. She used her advantage of being a lady to get John the Baptist murdered. That's very weighty, isn't it? But how many men have lost their lives, and how many things have happened like that from women using their seductive, being seductive and trapping men and seeing those things, and that stuff, it happens a lot. Many strong men, that's right. That's right. That's right. She taught her that her looks could get her anything she wants in life. Right? Just use your looks and use your body and use your beauty as an advantage. That's wrong. It destroys the self-worth of that young lady. Why? Because her beauty is inner beauty. Right? Of course, there's outer beauty as well, and we thank God for that. But we don't base our character on outer beauty. It's the hidden man of the heart. Right? That's what it is. An ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. There's nothing wrong with recognizing beauty. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being beautiful. There's nothing wrong with any of that. There's something wrong with using it in a sinful way. Right? There's something wrong with that. But she taught her to use her body as like a weapon. That's what she taught. She taught her that her looks could get her anything she wanted. She taught her to be a strange woman. She taught her to be cold-blooded and to use her body for what she wanted, to put that man to death. She taught her to despise male authority, to despise her own father. By what? By leaving him. For his uncle, right? To despise that male authority in her life. She taught her to hate the man of God, by the way, because John the Baptist, everyone knew that he was a man of God. She taught her by her actions and her manipulation to hate authority and hate. By the way, you mark it down. It's very common when you see the behavior of a woman that hates men, they hate biblical authority. Right? Just like Ahab and Jezebel, what they want to do, they have a hate for men. They'll definitely hate that preacher that stands up or that prophet that stands up. They will hate that man. Same thing with what Jezebel do, man. She went after Elijah, didn't she? She was going to find him. Why? They hate it. They hate that male authority. And she taught it. This mother taught that. She taught her to despise that. Remember, our actions have consequences. They lead somewhere. So they're not just done in a bubble that doesn't affect anyone else. If you teach your children by example the wrong way, or if a mother teaches her children in behavior the wrong way, it will harm them greatly. In the future, our actions, they have an effect. How many men have had mothers that were not good mothers that it affects you to this day? Right? Because the mom wasn't the mother that she was to be, and it impacted you. It changed you in that sense, and it harmed you. And it's by the grace of God that you actually love women today. Love your wife and your daughters. Why? Because of a horrible mother. Right? It's bad enough having a horrible father, but having a horrible mother is even worse. Because the mother is the nurturing side of everything, and the teaching side, the side that's with you most. And manipulating women like this woman right here harden men. They harden them. And only the Holy Ghost can soften that up. They make them bitter. They lead them to that bitterness. Many a mother that has done evil or done wrong has led a young man into being bitter. I mean, I've seen it over and over again, time and time again. This is why I preach what I do. This is why I preach on the role of the sexes, on the husband and the wife, on our responsibilities, you know, as men and women and everything else. This is why I do, because I've seen the effects of when it's not done, and that we don't understand what our duties are before God, and the hardness of heart and what it leads to, and how it destroys men's lives. It's very difficult to come back from those things. But by the grace of God, we can. All things are possible, right, with God. But it's true. It's there. It matters. Your actions matter. She taught her to despise that male authority. Don't teach your daughters to despise their fathers or despise male authority. Don't let them do that. Teach them by example to love them and to care for them and respect them. You have a duty to teach that. Amen. And the same thing goes for a husband, as a duty to teach his sons to respect and love their mother. Amen. And you do that, number one, by loving your wife. The number one way you teach somebody, your children, to respect their mother is you love their mother in front of them. You show them that you love her, that they know you love her and you respect her. Right? Amen. That's the number one way. And then we do it by correction and instruction. You don't talk to your mother that way. Amen. Don't talk to me one way and talk to your mother another way. That's not going to work. That's called manipulation. Nope. The way you talk to your mother is the way you talk to me. We're the same when it comes to that, right? We're the same. You don't do that. That's manipulation. That's wrong. Nope. You talk to your mother the same way you talk to your father, in the sense of respect and love, right? You don't talk down to your mother. Amen. And you husbands, you don't talk down to your wife either. There's times of instruction and correction has to happen. But they're not children. They're your one flesh. Talk to them like they're you. They're part of you. They are part of you. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Amen. Right? Nurtured and cherished. That's the way it's supposed to be. I'll tell you what, don't ever think that you can come to this church and you hear, strong biblical preaching on everything and against feminism and all this and all those other things, and you think for one second, I think it's appropriate to talk to your wife like trash or to treat her like garbage. That gets no play here. What it will get you is in a lot of trouble. Because we don't do that here. We don't talk to our wives like that. We don't treat them like that. That's not acceptable behavior. We're Christian men. We talk to them like Christian men that love and cherish our wives. Amen. I mean that. I mean that. Don't test me on that. You'll find out. Others have tried and they found out that didn't work. It's because, I didn't say me, it's because we don't do that. We don't do that here. We're not Muslims. All right? We don't look at our women as something like a dog. Amen. I mean it. Don't talk to your wife like that. And don't make the mistake of doing it around us either. Because we're not going to listen to it. Amen. I'm dead serious, friend. I don't get into people's business, but when you make that business everybody's business, you're going to hear it. Yeah. Right? We don't do that. Our daughters, we don't talk to them like that. It should never come out of your mouth. I've heard of it. I'm telling you. I've heard it from men talking like, it should never come out of your mouth. You're teaching your children that. They're going to mimic that behavior. No, we don't talk to them. No, you don't do that. Don't do that. Amen. I don't like it. I hate it. God hates it. It doesn't show you're some kind of man. You know what it shows? It shows that you can't lead and you're not being a man. Because you don't know how to love what God has gifted you with. Amen. He's gifted you. He's given you. But you don't see it as a blessing. I've heard men say that. We don't treat each other like we're a blessing to each other. Well, shame on you. Shame on you. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you see that you're a blessing, wonder, that God gifted you? Whosoever findeth a wife findeth what? A good thing, and hath obtained favor from the Lord. Right? Favor. We've been given favor. Don't you believe that God has given you favor by giving you your wife? Man, I do. Matter of fact, if you don't believe it, I believe it about you that God's given you favor because I've met your wives. So if you're too dumb to realize it, I'll tell you. You have been given favor. Amen. I mean it, friend. I'm serious. This is so important. This is so rib-rocked important today that men and women, that husband and wives love each other. We need it. This world hates our marriages, hates our children, hates our Bible, hates our church. We got to be the example. We got to love them. Amen. So that means we're accountable, right? We're accountable. Don't do that to each other. Don't do that. Don't manipulate each other and treat. Don't use each other as in a way like. Don't be act that way and treat each other like that. You know, God always gives warnings before judgment comes, and He has to deal with somebody. And don't ever forget that God uses the preacher to give warnings because He loves you. He loves all of us, so He gives us warnings. And rising up early. How many times have you sinned against God and God has given you warnings not to do what you do? Or how many times have you been prevented that God has kept you from sinning because of the warnings that you were given? Amen. That's what preaching is. It's pleadings and warnings. Don't do it. Amen. Take it. Take it for what it is and repent. Right? That's what God wants us to do. Take the warning. You know, no one thinks we're perfect. No, none of us think we're perfect. And no one thinks you are. Right? But you can get right with God and you can repent and you can treat each other with love and kindness. Right? Of course we've all made mistakes. Of course we've all sinned. Of course we've all not been perfect. It's not the point. The point is, where are you going, not where you've been. Where do you want to go? Right? Not where you've been and the mistakes you've made, but where are you going? Amen. That's the important thing. I guess by the time my ministry is done in that sense, you will find that I tried to speak with great plainness of speech so you were never confused. And if they were oversimplified, then I plead guilty to it. Because I don't know if we can have it simple enough in order in the plain English right here, right? I didn't have to go to the Greek to find out what the Greek word means, right? I'll just give you the English of what it says. Why? Because the English stings you, and the Greek will just flatter you because you don't know what it says anyway. Right. So some big smart... It'll flatter me, that is. I could be up here and I could give you all these fancy... I can't really, though, because I'm not that smart. I'm just... I can't do that. I couldn't give you all those words. Like, I just give you plain English words. Why? I find they sting pretty... Because it's God's Bible, so it rewrote it, and it hurts. Like, I don't... Whew. Nothing like that good old plain simple English to give it to you, right? To drive it right between the forehead and hit you right in the heart and get you right where you need to be. Plain and simple. That's the way God wants it, amen? Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. She wanted to kill him bad. She taught her daughter that looks can kill. Right?
Yep.
She, looks can kill. People say looks can't kill. No, looks can kill. Look. He looked, he was pleased, and somebody got killed.
Yep.
Right? So looks can kill.
Yep.
Right? They did right there, didn't they? He looked, and John got killed. Lee, it's going to be the Baptist that gets killed. If everybody in the kingdom, right, what's the chances? What do you want? Go ask your mother. Okay, she goes to ask her mother. Whoa, Mom, what should I ask for? Oh, you know that Baptist that's sitting in prison? Get him. Get his head. Always, right? Gotta find him. It's the same thing that happened, right? One of these emperors, over this time period, one of these emperors rebelled against the Pope. And to get himself back in the good graces of the Pope, what did he do? Wrote an edict against the Waldenses. Baptists are going to get it, right? Wrote an edict against the boudoir, wrote it, and I think it was the, I can't remember the other guys I got up here. Not Piedmont, but the other. Yes, thank you. Albigenses. Well, let's write an edict against them. That'll make the Pope like me again. Sure it will. What can we agree on? Well, we all hate the Baptists. That's what we can agree on. We don't agree on much, but one thing we do agree on is they're worse than you. So they got to die. So what happened? Tons of people in all over Israel she could have asked for, but who'd she ask for? John the Baptist's head. Right? Proverbs 21, verse number 9, talks about these type of women. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. I used to joke about a brawling woman in the White House. I was talking about Michelle Obama, but we don't know if she's a woman, though. We don't think Michael's a woman. Right, Michael and Barry. So in this way, you don't want to be like Mike, but right. Proverbs, you don't want to be like Mike, all right? Some of you get that, some of you aren't old enough. It's okay, don't worry about it. Anyway, Proverbs 21:19. Here's another one. It is better to dwell in the wilderness. You get a little worse here. It's like the corner of the housetop's not enough. Get out of the house. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Man. That's pretty bad. I mean, Solomon, he knew because he had a lot of women. So he knew that women get that yeah, he's I'm going to the wilderness, man. Maybe that's why he had a house in the wilderness. I don't know. he built Pharaoh's daughter her own house. Well, you got to live over here because God don't want you here. So he put her over there, right? But he said, better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. What is that? That word contentious is the same as brawling, too, as well. It all has the same quarrelsome, right? Same word. Not same word, but same definition, same understanding, right? Contentious, quarrelsome, fighting, brawling, right? All of it. It gives the same idea as contentious does. I should say not the same word, but anyway, it does, and it's an angry woman, right? So, you know, the moral of that story, that part of that verse is don't be contentious in an angry woman, a brawling woman. What does that mean? It means that you're going to have to submit and back off sometimes. Many times. Most of the times. Right? And you're going to have to pray. And ask God to do that work. Amen. Why? Because that's God's way. Remember? It's God's way that you do that. It's not the way of the flesh. The way of the flesh is for you to yell louder than your husband. Or shout your husband down. Like that's the way of the flesh. Right? To shout louder. Or to raise your voice louder. Or to get your point across louder. That's not God's way for you to have influence. God's way is that meek and quiet spirit. God's way is for you to pray for them. God's way is for you to live a holy life in front of them. That's God's way. And He promises that that way will have power. He promises it. That's His promise. But it takes faith for you to believe that. Because your flesh tells you, well, if I yell louder, I'm right, and I'll make them listen to me. It doesn't work that way with women. There's something, when women do that to men, most women can't understand this, what it sounds like to a man when a woman raises her voice and yells. But it's kind of like a hysterical hyena. Or a screeching monkey in their ear. Right? Is that pretty close? A loud piercing sound in your ear that you want to go away. That's what it sounds like. It's the most detestable and hateful thing that a man hears. He hates it. It's like, okay, I'll give you an example. It's like hearing Hillary Clinton talk to you, yell at you like all day long. That's what it's like. That's what it sounds like to them. You look like a baboon screeching at them. That's what a man... I'm telling you. And you don't have to like what I'm saying. I'm just telling you, I'm a man, and when women yell like that and I hear them yell like that, I'm like, here come the crazy apes. Here they are. Why? Because God never meant you to yell like that at men and to talk to be. It makes a man angry. Yeah, it just makes him worse. It doesn't help anything. It makes it worse because it does make him angry. Now some men handle it different ways. Some men they shell up and get quiet. That's not me. But some men do that. I mean, it makes me want to roar, but my wife doesn't yell at me, so I don't have to worry about that. But when I hear women on the street yell like that, they yell at us, and I just tell Paul, we're cranking this amp up, Paul. This lady's leaving. She's getting out of here. I can't listen to this anymore. So we crank it all the way up and let her wail, right? But anyway, that's why he said it was better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Proverbs 27:15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Drip, 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 drip. Until that man goes, I gotta get out of here! Right? I'm not kidding you. That's what it does to a man. Like, that's how they right? They want to, like, bust through the wall. It is. It's like waterboarding. Okay, I'm out of here. The nitpicking's got to stop. I can't take it anymore. I'm gone. That's just the truth. That's the way it is. But this woman, back to this woman, with no natural affection and care for others, she taught her that being the object of lust brings self-worth. I think this is a very important thing to say. Instead of teaching her that a virtuous woman shall be praised, right? She shall be praised. She taught her that being the object of a man's lust is what truly brings her self-worth. That's not true. Now, it's true that your husband is, if you're married and you have a wife, you're going to lust after your wife. That's not wrong. That's biblical. There's a biblical... we're not talking about that. We're talking about using that as an object of lust. You know, not being married and not being under the marriage, but right, complete what some would call animal passions. Right, that's it. That's a wrong thing to teach them. You teach them that a virtuous woman shall be praised. Proverbs 31:28-31. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen. But she taught her the opposite, to conquer men with her looks and her body. She taught her that her purity was not important, to practice, plot, and plan sin. She taught them dishonesty. She taught her dishonesty. By the way, teaching daughters to use men can cause irreversible damage. It's not a good thing. Teaching them to manipulate. She taught her that men could use her for pleasure and not love her as a man is commanded to love his wife. Just use her for baseless pleasure. Nothing to do with love and care. That's a horrible thing. Because it's not true. It's a misrepresentative of God's love, isn't it? It's not godly love. It's harlot love, which we'll talk about in a minute here. Nothing worse than teaching a young lady that her value lies in the way that she looks and not in her godly walk with God. That her only value lies in the way that she looks. It's a terrible thing. Because maybe your looks will be gone someday. Does that mean your value is gone? Right? Does that mean your value is gone? Of course not. When you get old and gray and lose your hair, right, Paul? Right? Or it all goes white like mine says. Great white height. What happened to it? It was there once. It was, well, it's still there. It's just white. Right? Or when, like, you wear like a 1 liter, you look like a 3 liter. Right? Or a 4 for some of us. Okay? That's it. It's okay. Right? Happens. Better still love them. Amen. Love them for more than what they look like. Yeah. Love them for their godly heart and their devotion. Amen. Their devotion. Their care. Amen. Many men have chased around just straight looks to marry somebody and found their lives destroyed by that woman. Destroyed by it. Right? Absolutely just ruin their, make them miserable, make them want to chew their own arm off to get away from them. Right? Because all they sought after was lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Nothing wrong with looking nice and everything. I'm not talking about that. I'm just simply saying that your value is in your heart towards God. That's the value in any woman, any man, any of us, is our love for our Lord and our love for each other. Our devotion to God and our devotion to one another. Amen. That means more than anything. It does. That we fear God and we give Him glory. Amen. It means more than anything. I want you to remember also that these are religious people. They're Judaizers. They're all a bunch of they were all religious people. The king, he was the king of Israel, right? Herod is. He's right. He's the king there. He's in charge. He's the, you know, tetrarch or whatever he is at that time. But he's in charge. He's the acting ruler there, King Herod, right? He's the active ruler there. And nothing worse than under the guise of religion living in a lascivious lifestyle. You want to destroy children? Go ahead and go to church and put your time in at church and then go home and live like the devil in front of them. You know, watch filthy movies and treat them poorly and not take care of their wife and or their mother and not be kind and, you know, run around like the world and do all that stuff and then take them to church on Sunday. Boy, you want to really, really, really make them hard. You go ahead and show them false religion, right? You show them, or you take them to a true church and you live falsely. Oh my goodness. Talk down to their mother, treat them poorly, call them names. All those things. Right? Treating each other. Not. You want to ruin them? Oh, you'll ruin them. They won't believe anything about the Bible. They'll look at you and say, that can't be true. I grew up around that. I've seen how bad that is. Right? How many of you grew up around that dead religion? And you watched it, and nobody was different, were they, Paul? No, they weren't different, were they? No. They ran around, cheated on each other, ran around on their spouses, right? Ran around, treat each other, stick their son in front of that to have him watch that stuff. Right? Right? Dave knows about those stories too, don't you, Dave? We talked about those things. Don't do that. You either live for God or you don't, but don't be a fake about it. You live for God. You know, we're not perfect people, but our direction better be headed towards heaven. It better not be heading towards hell. Our lives better not be lived out in wicked hypocrisy. There's a difference in falling 7 times and rising again. There's a difference in that and just your whole life, you never get up. And it's all hypocrisy. It's not real. And you're living your life like that. You'll damage people. You'll destroy them. They won't think God is real. Because they don't see His work in you. Amen. People need to see the work of God in us by our godly example in our lives. These people, they were religious. Well, they were the head of, you know, he's King Herod, right? He's up there running around. Or he's up there. What happened? He's having women dance in front of him. provocatively, killing the prophets of the Lord. They all claim they're Jews, though, don't they? They do their sacrifices. Just like Christians, right? Many professing Christians, I should say, they do the same thing, but they live wicked lives. Right? Living in sin and teaching others by our example is a horrible thing. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This mother taught her daughter to give away her body to get what she wanted and would have killed him. But she could not. So what did she do? She plotted it. Never underestimate the vitriol and hate of a Jezebel and what lengths they will go to destroy godly men. Fail. Right? There's no low enough for them. You will notice this woman had hate and murder in her heart. And those mothers that are fallen by nature and lost, dead in their sins and religious, are the most dangerous women you will come around that you'll see, that you'll come across. They have a lot of hate. They mask it right in religion, but they're hateful. They spread hate. And you're a young person. You're looking at that and you're like, I thought that's the way it always was. So you get out and around and away from that, and you see that, oh my, that's not how it's supposed to be. Not all families aren't like that. All families that go to church aren't like that. They actually love each other. They actually mean it. They believe the Bible. They love each other. Right? They're not like that. Right? People out there, you wonder sometimes why they have the perception of that. Maybe they've been hurt by people like us. You know, not us specifically, but people that went to church that claimed the Bible and claimed to love God, and then they destroyed their families. Right? Didn't care nothing for them. Didn't take care of them. Turns them off. Turns them hard. Just remember, Jezebels always hate prophets. They always hate preachers. On the streets, we are opposed more by women than we are by men.
Yeah.
We are, hands down, we are opposed by more women than we are men. Because Satan knows the destruction of society is through its women. That's why in Romans, even their women.
Yeah.
That's like the last. Get the mom out of the house. Get the woman out from doing. Get her out from underneath what she's supposed to be doing, and you'll destroy a whole. I think it's the Marxists and others that tried to do that too as well. The Jacobins and others, they push that. Why? Because they know that if they get the mom out, if they get her discontented, if they get her away and they give her this prosperity and all this equality and all these other things, then it'll destroy them. It'll destroy society. Why? Because that mother is a gatekeeper. She is a gatekeeper. You ain't going no farther than right here. Right? Gatekeeper. She keeps that stuff away, right? Oh, you ain't doing that to my kids. You ain't doing that to my children. Right? She's also protective of her husband. You stay away from my husband. Amen. She knows to be around where she needs to be. Right? Amen. These same women, they put to death their own children through human abortion. We see it today. They're out there. They're bragging about how much love they have. Wait a minute. You're in line telling me you're defending the murder of innocent babies. You're telling me how much love you have in your heart? When I'm trying to tell you to stop killing your own children? Well, part of that, that's called witchcraft. That's why we look at that like, you guys are crazy. What's wrong with you people? Well, we said, me and Paul said, you're insane. We told that lady, you're just insane. We just flat out, you're just insane. I looked over at Paul, I was like, Paul, I think she's insane. You go, yeah, she is. She's insane. They're just, it's the way they are, they've lost it. They raise daughters to be just like them. That's why they hate our preaching. Listen, you know how you know you're a rebel and you're not in the will of God? And you might be saved, I'm not saying that, but I mean you're not following the will of God like you should. You're in disobedience. When you don't accept the boundaries that God has placed upon you for your protection. I'm speaking to all of us when I say that. Not if we despise God's boundaries for us to protect us, be it husband, be it wife, be it children, be it single person, whatever it is, if you don't respect it, the boundaries, and you're not thankful for boundaries like that that God has put up in your life, it means your heart is rebellious. Because you look at them as chains or a prison instead of a castle to protect you. You look at them as a prison to keep you. No, it's not a prison. It's a castle. The king's daughters are all glorious. Right? They're the king's daughters. It's a castle to protect you and to keep you. That's what is the will of God is for all of us. There are boundaries in the will of God for a man, for a woman, for a husband, for a wife, for a child. Why? Because God loves us. And He wants to protect us. And when we knowingly and willingly try to break out of those bounds, or our heart is set on doing that, we're being prodigals. Because we want to break out. It's wrong, and we have to repent of that. Amen? They raise their daughters to be like them, to use men. They raise those girls up to be victims and to sell their bodies. That happened with the rise of the Me Too movement, right? Where the women had no place and no business being in the workforce anyway, to be propositioned by men in that place. Now, are the men guilty? Yes. Nobody's going to say it differently. Of course they are. They're wicked and wrong. If they've done evil, they're wrong. But that doesn't excuse the wrong of the situation either on the other side. Right? They're still wrong to do any of that. But listen, they took advantage of that movement too to move up the ladder. By the way, women, many of those women lost women in the workforce. They'll do what they have to do to get ahead. And they do it. And they give their bodies to do that. All those music moguls, they all talk about it. All those women talk about it. Yeah? They admit what they've done. They talk about it to get ahead. What they do. They talk about what happened to them anyway. They say it like they're victimized. And some of them were, because they were young teenage girls that were taken by these music moguls, and they were taken advantage of because they're young and their minds were not. Now, they're still wrong if they've done something wrong, but when they're little, like little kids, like Miley Cyrus and people are, you know, and Britney Spears, they were little Mouseketeer girls, like 8 years old, and they indoctrinated them into that. It's like they didn't have a fighting chance, right? And that's what Satan wants to do, right? So that part is true and real. It happens all the time. And men took advantage of them, and that does happen. But this girl who is doing that provocative dance for a man is pleasing him so she can get what she wants. That's called harlot love, by the way. It's the world's version of love. It's not biblical love, but it is a version of love. That's the one thing you have to remember when they say, we say that's not biblical love. But make sure you say that, because they're going to say, well, no, it's love. Love is love. Right? Proverbs 7:17. Look what it says. Through 19. Remember this. It's very important. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. What is she saying here? What is that love? The Bible says it's love too. It's harlot love. So they have love, yeah. But you have to define what that love is. That's harlot love. That's the love of a strange woman. Is that the love that you want? A fornication? That's what that love is. The Bible calls it love. Look, I believe it in every word Bible. Do you believe what the Bible just said there? I'll read it to you again. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. That's not a mistranslation. It's accurate. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. It is. It's harlot love. It's harlot love. It's not biblical love. So differentiate that. They call it love. Okay. You call it love. God calls it harlot love. What is harlot love? Any love outside of biblical love that God has said is biblical love in the Bible. Outside of the marriage bed, outside of the physical sense of what... Because they're calling... You realize, those sodomites, those lesbians, those all those people, they're describing, they say, well, I believe people should be able to love whoever they want. Because love is love. Right? Well, this is the love they're talking about. This is Satan's love. It's whorish love. It's not biblical. It's not right love. So yeah, that's their version of love. They have it, and your King James Bible has it. Right there, it shows you what it is. That's an English nugget for you right there. You like that, Brother Paul? That's one of those English nuggets. Right? We didn't go to the Greek for that. Or the Hebrew. We went to the English. Right? Amen. God calls it fornication. They call it love. She taught this young lady not to be modest, but to be loud and stubborn, as we talked about again. That her value was seen in the way she looked. It's an evil mother, a bad teacher. Not a teacher of good things. Understand this on another note, that when we look at the fact that Ahab, the effeminate man, he shouldn't have taken an oath in the first place. Herod is like Ahab, an effeminate man. Why did he take an oath in the first place to do anything? Why? Because his yea wasn't yea and his nay wasn't nay. He wasn't an honest man. So he had to be held by an oath. And he thinks he was doing a good thing by being held by a promise or an oath. You promised a wicked thing. By the way, God doesn't want you to promise wicked things. If you promise wicked things or evil things, God's not going to bless that because, well, I kept my word. Well, if you gave your word to do something evil, repent. Amen. Don't keep it. Repent. Amen. You understand that, right? This is a biblical concept. I'm not preaching to you problemism or Jesuitism. I'm preaching you or Jesuitism. I'm preaching you the truth. If you promise to do something and it's evil, repent. Don't do it. Yeah, I'm just doing my job. Yeah. No. Repent. I'm just doing my job. Don't. Right? Amen. And by the way, that wouldn't even be their job either, but when any base of morality comes from anything other than the scriptures, you have a problem. Because the script, holiness is above morality. It's called virtue. And virtue comes from Christ. Amen. Amen. That's it. That's just it. By the way, this does highlight the danger of taking oaths. There's a danger in that. James 5:12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, either by heaven, either by the earth, either by any other oath. Why? We're Christians. We don't have to. We already bound to tell the truth. You get that, right? Like, you're not supposed to, like, this specific time, I'll take this oath in order to say that I will tell the truth, and I will swear by such and such that I will tell the truth. Really? Well, don't you always live your life in telling the truth? Isn't that your manner of life? Or do you practice lying? And this, it's like you have a bunch of heathens get up there and take an oath. They don't even believe God. They're like that astronaut said, and that astronaut's gone wild. The guy said, I couldn't get anybody to take that oath. But this astronaut took the oath and he said, yeah, I don't have a problem. Why? He asked him, well, do you believe in God? And the guy goes, no, I don't believe in God. I thought it's just a book to me. I don't care. I'll take your oath. What was he saying? I'm lying. And I don't care that I'm lying, because I don't believe in God. By the way, the Jesuits are trained, and the bishops and the priests, they're trained to take oaths that they know they're lying about. Because they're to obey the Pope above all else. So they can lie to obey the Pope. Right? They can flat out lie and misrepresent anything and do whatever they want to obey the Pope. And they're not guilty of anything. In their mind, they're not guilty. It says here, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. You're just to live honest in the sight of all men anyway. And there's nothing greater than God, so what would you swear? You know, God's word is it, but we're already under an obligation to live honestly in the sight of all men by the nature of our Christian profession. Right? I can't swear that I'll be loyal to anyone else but Christ. In that sense, too. As they have you swear to the oath of this or the oath of that, and to be the only one I can tell you that I am bound to be obedient to is my Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have any other. I can't give you. I can't promise you. I can't promise you that I'm going to, in that sense, right? We can't promise it, because what if I go south or you go south, right? What happens if you do that? Then how can I can only promise. I can only promise to follow my Lord and Savior because He never changes. Everything else in this world changes. That's why we follow the Lord, because He changes not. Right? But we don't have to swear to anything. But this man bound himself by an oath. He should never have bent into a wicked woman. He should have obeyed John's words and followed what John instructed him to do. He should have sent that woman back to her husband, and he should have done right. He should have repented, but he didn't. John told him to repent. John preached to him to repent. And he didn't. If he'd have listened to John's words, guess what? Nothing would have happened. Right? But he wouldn't. But typical Ahab, he heard John's words and listened to them, but he did not follow them. Because he did not follow John's godly words and counsel, he had to submit to a woman and do what she wanted. When you disobey the will of God, all the other options stink. They just do. If you disobey the will of God, every other option is not going to be good. Because obedience is what God blesses. He was a weak man, subject to his passions and desires, and ran around like a limp, rifted little beta. Right? No spine, no courage from the Lord. Completely ran by his passions and desires. Couldn't lead and do what was right. Make no mistake about it. These men can be strong and fighters even when it comes to leading. Ahab was a fighter. He went out to war and battle. But he couldn't conquer his own passions and he couldn't lead his own home by his wife. He let his wife do whatever she wanted. And she ran him. You can stand up to a bunch of men and get in a fight and do all that stuff, but not brave enough to be obedient and to lead your wife the proper way and to lead your children the proper way. But you can go fight bears, but not follow the word of God and lead your home in a biblical way. That doesn't show your bravery. What shows your bravery in that sense is your courage is to follow the Lord no matter what. Right? Even to the point of death. Amen? Amen. Think on these things. She was a terrible mother. She taught horrible lessons to her children. Let's not be guilty of the same. Let's be sensitive to what we teach our children and how we live. And teach them the true value and virtue and worth that they have is in Christ. Amen. And encourage them in that. Amen. Father, Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your words and the truth of it. Lord, we thank You for Your grace, Your mercy. Lord, we thank You for our children, our daughters, our sons, Lord. Lord, we thank You for our wives. Thank You for the husbands here, the men here. Thank You, Lord, for faithful people. God, thank You for bringing faithful people to this church. Thank You for raising up faithful people, faithful men and women that want to serve You and live for You, that love You. God, thank You for being grace, gracious to us in teaching us. Help us, Lord, in these areas where we've been wrong. May we repent and get it right. Forgive us, cleanse us, strengthen us. Help us to walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.